Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good. Everybody dry? You're not dry in your spirit, dry in your body. We got to do some talking tonight. Let's pray and talk for a few minutes. Father God, anoint me as I share what you've laid on my heart. Open the hearts of the people to hear. Let the Spirit of God be strong in here. As the song said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Guide and lead us in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. A few weeks ago, we stopped the normal flow of the Wednesday night services to see if God wanted to do something special on Wednesday night. We saw revivals kind of breaking out. They don't like to use that term, outpourings of the Spirit. And we said, we're just going to kind of stop and see what God, if you want to do something here at VBF, and he didn't let us down. In the last 30 days, we've had close to 150, 190 people give their lives to Jesus in the last 30 days. We baptized well over 100. But tonight it's time to refocus a little bit, and I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling. I'm the lead pastor, and I know God talks to me. Churches of Asia, he said, say to the messenger of the church, what angel of the church, it was messenger, could have been the pastors, but let's say that we had the gift of resuscitation. And we live next door to a mortuary. And there's 30,000 bodies in that mortuary. And we've been given the gift of resuscitation. And we're like five doctors here with 20 nurses. So we've been carting dead bodies over here the last 30 days. And we've been resuscitating them. And they've been dead for months. For months they've been dead. And so we have all these dead bodies, or bodies that used to be dead, that are now alive, standing around in the church. Now, the people get worked up, because there's always people that come in that they think they know what a revival is, and they probably, a lot of them have never seen a true revival. Some of them have, some haven't. And people get caught up in the moment going, oh man, let's keep bringing them in. Pastor, we're bringing another 100 over another 100. You finally see these 200 have been resuscitated. And after 2 weeks, they're going, they haven't been fed, and they're going to die. They've been dead for months. They need to be fed, or they're going to die. Now, that other 20,000 in the mortuary, they're not going anywhere. They're dead. We can truck another 500 over in another month or two, but let's feed the ones that have been resuscitated. Let's feed them something, or they're going to die on us again. I think so often the church has got into number games. Man, all these numbers, we keep piling the numbers up, but numbers are no good if you don't disciple people. If you don't see the job through. Now, I've got some very important things to say in a short while. I told you to bring your Bibles. Anybody bring their Bibles? Let's see if you did. Raise them up if you brought them. God bless you. Get an ink pen out. Mark them up. I'm going to go fast right now. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 1, 18, 19. Look at it. I pray. He says, there's no way this is going to happen if I don't pray. I'm praying that through prayer and the power of God, that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened so that they will know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the saints. Now, and then it goes on, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now get this, hold on a second. He says, the Christians don't understand the surpassing greatness of the power of God that has been given to those who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Now, the Greek definition here is enlightened. It means to brighten up, illuminate, disclose, reveal. How many of you are familiar, if I say stereoscopic pictures? Throw one up. I'm good at this. Some people aren't. I have to cross my eyes and look at these. And when I do, man, they pop. Oh my gosh. Has this popped for anybody yet? Do you see? It's almost like a cross figure. And you go real deep into it and fall off and go way into the picture. Can you see the three dimensions or four? How many can see it? No, I'm only one. Come on, look at it, stare at it. You almost have to go cross-eyed, and it'll pop out all of a sudden. Sure, you go, yeah, go closer. It works. They used to have these in the malls around Bakersfield, and I know how to do it. It popped on me, man. Once it pops, it won't go back in. And Pastor Jim used to always get mad at me and Tara because we could do it, and he said, you guys are pulling my leg. There's nothing there to see. Oh, yes, there is. I cross my eyes a little bit, and I just stare, and it just, boom. Anybody see it? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. I'm sorry for the rest of you. You're not Holy Spirit-led. I use that illustration to say that Paul says, these people I'm praying for, if they see what I'm talking about, it's going to pop. And once it pops, you'll never be the same again. Now see, once that pops for me, I can't see it like you see it. I can't see it normal again. It popped for me right there as I was looking at it. Now, there are three things Paul says, and I got to go fast here in this passage. He said, it's going to take a divine work for you to see the hope of your calling. Most Christians don't have a clue what the hope of their calling is. You're to go out there and show people that God's real, alive, and active on this earth. That is your job. Through you, people ought to say, I know God's alive because of Jesse. I don't know why I've heard that name tonight. If you're in here and your name is Jesse, he's got your number, Jesse. I'm serious. If there's a Jesse in here tonight, you need to come up and talk to me after the service. I'm telling you. So, he says the hope of their calling. They don't get it. Oh, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Look at the person next to you and say he's going somewhere. Secondly, the riches of his glory. Paul said, I'm praying that you'll see the riches of his glory. We are richer than billionaires. Do you understand that? How many billionaires? What would they pay to be saved from premature death? Everything they have, probably. Yet we have that power from God, and at times, he saves us from premature death. How much would they pay to have their marriage fixed and their family fixed? Some of them would spend most of their money to have that done, yet we have the power from God to restore broken marriages. How much would they pay to know they're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever? They pay everything they have to have eternal life. We've got it. I'm telling you. And thirdly, his inheritance of the saints. I'm going to say more about that in a moment. Look at verse 19 through 22. It says, and what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward those who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when God raised Christ from the dead. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he put all things. How many things? Oh, how many things? He put all things in subjection under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus. And gave him his head over all things to the church. I want you to look at this diagram. Say with me, we are the body of Christ. Christ, the head, is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven, but his body extends down on the earth. And if God the Father has put all things into subjection under his feet, then they're under our feet too. But he's the head.
We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a freak body. It has a head. The head's in heaven. Christ is in heaven. He's calling all the shots from there. And it says in those verses, he put everything into subjection under the feet of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. Now, the prosperity movement gets off track here because they say, everything's under our feet and we can just rule over everything only when he gives you permission. The orders come from the head. When God wants something, we need to go out and get it. Now, we haven't got to the good stuff yet. Now, let's continue a little bit here. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. This is where I want to spend my time for a while. Now, Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. This is a messed up church. The Christians are very immature. There's a lot of stuff going on, immorality, a lot of cheating and lying. And he says something to them, and he says, does any of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? How many of you know we're God's family? And we should live like a family. Look at the person next to you and say, hi, brother, hi, sister. They're family. We're family. Now, how many times in our life, maybe we've heard our father or grandfather say something. Something happens in our family, some stuff goes down. And he says, you know what? Let's just keep this among ourselves, okay? This is family stuff. Have you heard that said? This is family business. Don't go talking about it. This is between us. Well, it's the same thing in the church. Paul says, hey, don't air your dirty laundry in front of the world. It's family stuff. Let's keep it between us. Yet the church is failing miserably. They go on social media and blast one another in the church. That is so wrong. And God's going to chastise those people who do that. Christian magazines cannot wait to get the juiciest gossip on a pastor that fail or whatever. They put the articles out in front of the whole world so they can make some money and entertain people. God's going to hold us accountable. We love to gossip and we just, somebody said the church is the only institution that kills its wounded. So Paul's upset over this. And he says, you know what? Let's keep it in the family, man. He says, in fact, when you have a case, if I have a case, my brother Andy down, if I have a case against him or John, I'm going to sin if I go to the court of law. If I want to sue you, I can't take you to the court of law if I want to really obey Scripture. But I can take you before the elders of the church. And they can make a decision, and you need to be obligated to obey what decision they make. We do these quite often. Just a while back, we had two businessmen in the church suing one another, and they obeyed Scripture, and they came, and five of us elders sat down, and we decided about what they should do. And they abided by it. Now, we need to obey Scripture. Now, I'll go to verse 2 and 3. Now, here's where it's going to get nitty-gritty. He says, do you not know the saints will judge the world? What? Did you know you guys are going to judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law court? Do you not know that you're going to judge angels? How much more matters of this life? Now, what does this mean? We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world. Well, some people think it refers to the fallen angels and that we're going to judge them. I don't think that. I think it's much bigger picture here. Remember I've taught you, read the letter and then step back and look at the spirit of the passage. This is not someday we're going to call our guardian angel in and go, okay, God says I'm going to judge you. Where were you at on December 22nd, 1998, when I broke my leg? Come on, where were you at? You sure didn't help me. Does it mean that? No. Nor are we going to judge the world for their sins. We're not going to judge the world and angels for their sins. I mean, come on. I'm not God. I don't know the hearts of people. I'm not in a position to judge the world and angels for their sins or anything. I don't have any way to see their motives, to see their heart. I can't do that. Well, you got to go back. I think the Hebrew word helps us a lot here. Go back. It's shofet. And this is the word in Hebrew for judge. And it means to rule, be a ruler, to govern, kind of a military leader. Oh, this is so important. This is so important. You were not put on this earth to just get married, get a job, make some money, build a house, get a retirement house at the beach, and retire. No. You are God's chosen people. You're on this earth for a divine purpose. Don't look at your neighbors. You're nothing like them. You and your neighbors, you're totally different. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He probably doesn't in them if they're not saved. Well, we know he doesn't if they're not saved. Now, let's go back to Genesis for a moment. We're going somewhere. God started his plan for Adam and Eve in the garden. He had a plan. He made the earth, created the earth, and he gave it to them to be over it, to reign and subdue and to be over his creation. It was like a father's business, father and sons and daughters, a family business. He created the earth and he said, okay, Adam and Eve, oversee it, subdue it. Look at Genesis 1, 27, 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Now, when God blesses something, he makes more out of it than what it would be otherwise. He blessed them. And said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and you too, you subdue it, and you rule over it. Everything on the earth that moves, you rule over it. Now, this was his plan in the beginning. It's like a father and son business, father and kids business. It's a family-ran business. Look at this, at verse 26 and 28 in the Message Bible, I hope. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them, reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth, God created human beings. He created them God-like, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and for everything living that moves on the face of the earth. Now, that was his plan. That was his plan. But God interrupted. When man sinned, the plan got interrupted. Isn't that the way it always goes? When you got married, two Christian people, God had a plan to do something fantastic with your marriage and family. But very often, someone sins and they interrupt the plan. The ministries, we see ministries that God's births in our city and in our country, and God has a plan, but somebody sins and the plan gets messed up. Well, the good news is that God has made a way for us to be forgiven and start all over again. Got a rhema for someone, it's time to start all over. You've goofed everything up, but it's time to start all over. See, we're living in a state of interruption. Do you get this? Do you get this? When God created Adam and Eve, put him in the garden. His plan started. Then when man sinned, he went, time out. We've lived in that time out ever since. Someday God's going to pick up with his plan again. When he raptures the church and takes care of all the sin, he's going to start the plan over again. And we will be back in the same kind of position that Adam and Eve were in, ruling with God. We'll be like Adam and Eve. We'll be working under God to subdue and to rule over things. Now, this is where I want to have you zone in on the angels. We're going to be governing over angels. When we get to heaven, those of us that have got rewards and have lived our life well on the earth, we're going to be governing with God. Everybody's going to be governing to some degree. And some of us will have angels under us. We'll say, I need three angels over here. Three angels here do this. You angels do such and such. This is what it means when you're judging over angels. You're governing over them. You say, I don't get it, Ron. Well, angels, that's what they do. Look at Hebrews 1:14. Angels, he says, are they not all ministry spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Look at this verse in the Message Bible. Isn't it obvious that all angels are sent to help out with those lined up to receive salvation? We're going to judge angels. We're going to be in a place of governorship. We're going to be in a place of saying, man, God says, here's 10 angels. Go take care of this on my planet here. Or if there's other planets, we don't even know. But take these angels, govern over them, get the job done. You're my redeemed. You're higher than the angels right now when you're in heaven. So you're my redeemed. I mean, if you see this, this is going to change your life. We oversee these little, go back to our context. He says, you guys, you're going to Judge Judy with your lawsuit. He says, man, you're God's kids. Someday you're going to be ruling over angels, over the world. You're going to be ruling with me. And he says, you can't take care of a little simple lawsuit down there? Don't go to Judge Judy. Now, look at Revelation 5, 9, and 10. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will what? What does it say they're going to do? Where? They're going to reign on the earth. They're going to rule. They're going to govern. Look at Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes, that means, overcoming means you're serving God with everything you have. And trials are going to come, testing's going to come, problems are going to come. But when the dust settles, you'll still be smiling going, hallelujah, I believe in God. He said, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. What do you do from a throne? You rule, you govern. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now again, I told you last week, when you look in heaven in Revelation, there's two groups of raptured saints. The smaller group is clothed in white robes and they have crowns on their head. And that Greek word is stephanos, not diadems. Diadem crowns were given to royalty. Stephanos was given to people who had competed and won them in some kind of competition. And that's a group of the church. You go three chapters over, you see this big, big number of people that no one can even count. They have white robes on, but they don't have any crowns. They haven't won a lot. They haven't done a lot. Look at Revelation 22 and 12. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what? To what? What he has done. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How many of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Now, this is the Bema judgment seat. You're not going to be judged for your sins. Your sins are gone. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you are going to give a speech to God when you get to heaven about how you lived your life on earth. And according to how you lived your life on earth, you'll either get rewards or you'll get nothing. But you'll still go to heaven. And that's what it's saying right here. Whether good or bad, you're going to get rewards for those that have done well. Look at Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Now wait, what? He's given him more things in eternity? He's given him more things to be in charge of? Enter into the joy of your master. Look at Luke 19. The next servant reported, master, I invested your money and made five times the original amount. He's well done. You'll govern over five cities. You'll rule over five cities. You will judge those people in those cities. And you'll have angels helping you, and you will judge and govern over them too. Right now, listen to me. We are in the process of being groomed and trained to rule over God's stuff someday. And the earth is our training grounds. We're in boot camp. Yet the devil has sidetracked so many of you. For years, you've been depressed. And I'm sorry, depression's bad stuff. But you've been depressed, and you can't get out of your funk. You have marriage problems. You got job problems. You got kid problems. You got porn problems. And you're wasting the precious time of the kingdom. The devil has you right where he wants you. He doesn't want you out there serving God. He doesn't want you out there promoting the kingdom. And the weird thing is, if you just get it, some of you here tonight, you got all these problems. You say, man, Pastor Ron, I'm just consuming my problems at home. Matthew 6:33 is true for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else you need will be added to you. You do God's stuff, and God will do your stuff. That you can take that to the bank. You can take that to the bank. You're straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. You're trying to fix things at home. You're trying to, instead of just saying, hey, whatever, I'm going to start pursuing God, and God will start mending those things. You're going about it the wrong way. I got a lot to go here, and I got about 12 minutes. See, we're wasting time of the kingdom. In heaven, we will not all be the same. Do you get that? Heaven, we're not all going to be the same. People have been faithful in this earth. I'm going to show you how to be faithful in a moment. People have been faithful. They're going to have more rewards than those who weren't faithful. Everybody's going to be thrilled they're in heaven. Someone once said, it's like on Christmas, little children, they're little bitty two-year-olds, they have more fun with the paper and the boxes than they do the gifts. Ripping it. And they're happy. They're having a great time. Now, your teenage kids wouldn't find that very fun playing with the boxes and the paper. They want the gifts. And in heaven, you're going to have a lot of people that really didn't do a lot on earth. They're in heaven, but they're going to be playing with the wrapping paper and the cardboard. They're going to say, that's really cool. And the rest of them are going to say, that is dumb, you know. We're not going to be the same in heaven. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, 36. I like Paul's attitude here. Someone will say, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come with when they get raised? He says, you fool. He's frustrated. You fool. That which you sow doesn't come to life until it dies. Did you see how he matter-of-factly deals with it? You want to know what kind of body we have when we get to heaven? Come on. What's up with you? Then jump down to 1 Corinthians 15, 40 through 41. He said, there are heavenly bodies and there's earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from stars in glory. Some people are going to be bright, and others are going to be dim. Some are going to be really shining, and others are going to be very hard to see, according to the works they did on earth. They're going to be different. Some people get to heaven, they're going to be given a limousine right away with like 30 angels saying, amen, go do all this stuff, you know. And others of us are going to say, hey, there goes Pastor Hector right there. Look, that limousine, he was obedient on earth. There he goes. And then you see, you know, another person go by that you know is really faithful on earth. I'm telling you, we're not living for the here and now. We're living for heaven. We're here on assignment. We're ambassadors from another planet. Do you get it? This is the word of God. Stay with me, I'm almost finished. Every trial and problem you encounter on earth is being encountered by you because God wants to use that problem to develop new character in you. He wants to use that for many different reasons. And I can talk about them in a moment. We are in the process of being trained. See, the people on the earth don't have any idea about what I'm talking about tonight. If you could peel the human mask off right now, you'd see the Holy Spirit living in this body. We're the only ones with the Holy Spirit. Those that are born again, if you're not born again, he's not living in you. But he's living in every single person. But we're not applying ourselves to get to know him. Now, to believe in the Bible is a radical concept. To believe in God the way I believe in God is a radical concept. Look at Acts 26, 24. While Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad." Why did he say Paul was out of his mind? Do you know people say that about me and about some of you? That Pastor Ron Vietti's out of his own mind, man. He's out of his gore. He says he hears God. God said, go pray for a seal, and the seal got alive, and God said this, and God said that, and he said this happened. He's out of his mind. Thank you. That's what they said about Paul. I love the comparison. Why did this Festus, this king, say to Saul, this ruler, you're out of your mind? Well, look back in Acts 26, 14 through 18. He's talking to Festus here, and he says, and when I'd fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And he goes on, stand to your feet, Jesus said. I'm going to make you a witness. And so he's telling them a God story, and they're going, you're out of your gore. You are crazy. You've lost any sense of reality. You say Jesus spoke to you. You say that he had this conversation. You're out of your mind. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 20 in the Message. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't raised. Because he was indeed dead. And if Christ wasn't raised, then all you're doing is wondering about in the dark, as lost as you ever were. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and the resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Wow. I got to bring this to a conclusion. Let me look here. We are God's kids, and he has a plan for us. Now look, and I'm going to conclude. I'm going to make a conclusion with this passage. Look, one more passage. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. He's going on with the same thought here. He says, do you not know, if you've never heard that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers, none of them will inherit the kingdom of God. None of them will. Such were some of you. Before you went to Valley on Wednesday night, you were that. So a lot of you were in that category. But after a period of time, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. And I know there's a elephant in the room. You say, does that really mean homosexuals? Everybody has diverse opinions on that word there. But I'm not going to take time to get off on that. You know, the word in the Greek does mean man and bed. And it means also abusers of self with mankind. A lot of debate on what that means. I'll leave it there for right now because I want to make a point. Paul says, here's a bunch of people that live in sin, and they think they're going to inherit the kingdom of God, but they're not. They're not. People who consistently live in the kingdom of God are known by their fruits. People who consistently live in sin are known by their fruits. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. We all sin, but a true Christian is not one who gives their life to God and then goes out and willingly stays in sin. willingly keeps looking at porn, keeps dating, keeps shacking up. They keep falling. We all sin, but we ask for forgiveness, and we say, God, be patient with us, and slowly but surely he helps us get back up. I want to say more. I'm going to end in just a second. Why is he so dogmatic here? He said, these types of people, these liars and adulterers and these people, they can't inherit the kingdom of God. Why can he be so dogmatic? Because when you give your life to God and start spending time with him, you couldn't stay that way if you wanted. Amen. He will change you. He says you can't stay that way. I've heard people actually say, yeah, I use porn, and I know it's not right, but whatever, I can't wait for the Lord to come back. Well, you better wait. Because you ain't going. But others come to me, Pastor Ron, I'm dealing with porn for 3 years, and man, I want to get well. I've been to this class, this and that, and God has all kinds of patience with you. You have a repentant heart. That's different. We've been telling you during this outpouring of the Spirit, it's time to wake up, it's time to wake up, it's time to wake up. That's one reason I don't worry extensively about when people come in here. And they go, Pastor, I got to tell you, I'm a transgender. Pastor, I'm a gangster. I'm a killer. I'm a prostitute. I don't worry about that too much. If I can lead them to the Lord and get them saved, then God's going to clean them up and he's going to change them. I'm not worried about what they were. Now listen to me. I'm giving you a lot of nuggets here tonight. If I can get you abiding in the Lord, God will change you. And you'll become what he wants you to become. Now, you have to walk away from sin. But if you abide in the Lord, he'll give you the strength to do that. And if you get the strength to do it and you still don't do it, then you don't want to. Now, sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a little thing right here. Look at this little thing. That's a true formula for sanctification. Our obedience plus the work of the Holy Spirit equals sanctification. Our obedience to Scripture plus the work of it will change who you are. Look at Leviticus 27 and 8. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them, but I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You separate yourself from all the crapola out there, and then God will change who you are, and it'll become legitimate. Your job is to separate yourself from that stuff, and as you do in time and you keep abiding in the Lord, then he changes who you are to such a degree you don't even want it anymore. That's his job. That's your job. Now, this is an ongoing conversation. The earth is our training grounds. If you're a Christian right now, every problem you encounter is for a reason. It's either to test your faith in God. Do you believe in God or do you believe what the lawyer says? Do you believe in God or what the doctor says? It's to test your faith. Or it's to give you an opportunity to experiment with your faith. Or it's an opportunity to show people the reality of God by what he's saying to you in the trial, or it's to test your obedience. Now listen to me. I got to end. Your junior hires. Someone said, they're not going to get this. No, you guys are much smarter than they give you credit for. Do you understand that we're on this earth for a purpose? And once you see your purpose, you don't have time to keep getting tied up in sin and strongholds. This place is like a military base, but it's also like a hospital. We're here to make you well. Now, can I, rest of church, ignore me for a second, but you junior high and high schools never hear me. Do you know how easy it is to serve God? First of all, let me tell you something. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. And you know what, junior highers and high schoolers? You're going to sin every week and every month, sometimes every day, every week, you sin. But as long as you're walking with God and you say, Lord, that's wrong. I know it's wrong. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, I know that. He just keeps restoring you and you keep growing. When I talk about sin that's going to devastate your life, that's sin that you say, you know what? I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to change. I enjoy that and I want that and I want God too. That doesn't work. But we all struggle. I'll probably sin in the next 2 days. I'll probably smart off to my wife, and God will say, man, you missed the mark there. But let me tell the young people, this is something the rest of you know. One day I was reading in the Bible where Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And it's like this thing went off in my head. He's a rabbi. Yoke can mean the way a rabbi sees the work of God and men on the earth. And he says, my yoke, the way I see the kingdom of God, it's real easy. It's not hard. I've said to everybody else, but for you young people, I'll say it again. A good father affirms his kids more than he disciplines them. And for you new Christians, if you're not regularly hearing God and seeing God give you high fives every day, then something's wrong. He said, my yoke is easy, it's simple, it's not a hard thing to do. There's Christians all over America that think they can't please God, so they don't even try. Listen to me, young people. Every time you get up in the morning and you pray for someone, you just serve God one time, and God says, give me high fives, man. You're going to get a reward in heaven for that, man. That's good. Every time you get up before noon and you write somebody, text somebody a verse, you serve God two times, and it's not even noon yet. God says, give me high fives. Every time you invite someone to church, you serve God. Every time you give to someone that's poor and in need, you serve God. And God's just taking track of all those things. I'm going to reward you for every one of those things. It's so easy to serve God. When you get up in the morning, do as I do. God, who can I encourage today? I get on social media and I minister to two or three people. God, you served me three times. Ron, it's 10 o'clock, already three times. Give me the high fives, buddy. Give me high fives. When you get saved, this is another one you kids haven't seen. Everybody's born a red ball of clay. Now, a lot of your friends in school and everything, they're still red balls of clay. Red comes from the word Adam. He was red. God gave me this illustration before I even knew that. So a red ball of clay. The blue ball of clay represents divinity coming from heaven in the Jewish mind. When you are born again, like some of you have been the last month, the Holy Spirit comes down, lives in your body, and joins the red ball of clay. And through obedience and hanging in there, those two balls of clay begin to be meshed together until they start turning into a purple ball of clay. Now you're a different person. You're sanctified. Remember those verses I read? God sanctifies you. He makes you into a different person. Your friends in the world, they're still red balls of clay. You got the red and the blue, and through your obedience and through your serving God and coming to church and listening, those balls are being meshed into a purple ball. And you'll never be the same again. Ron Vietti's not even the same person he was 3 years ago. See, somebody's phone went off, the alarm right there. Are you hearing me? I'm not into getting more people saved right now. I want to get the ones saved, get them strong, and start discipling them now. And let me rephrase that. I'm still into getting people saved. There are people here tonight who might need to give your life to God. I'm going to have the band come out. And I want to say to you, Jesse, if you're here, come up and see me. I'm telling you. Where are you at, Jesse? Come and see me. Come and see me. You said your wife? No one told me. That just came out of nowhere. We're going to keep giving altar calls. We're going to keep exploring what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So I'm going to ask you right now, in just a moment, to come up front, the ones that want to, for this last song. But before we do, let me pray this. Lord, there are people here tonight that need to be born again. There are people that came in this place and they don't have the Holy Spirit in their body. They've never asked Him to come in and take control of their life. They've never been baptized in water. They've never followed Christ. And Lord, you have a radical plan for their life. Lord, let us see that we're not on this earth to live like people that don't know God. We're here to live for you, and we're being transformed to rule with you in eternity. That's crazy. If you're here tonight, say, Pastor Ron, I've never been born again. Maybe you're Catholic. I know a lot of Hispanic people, the Italianos, they're Catholic. That doesn't mean anything. Catholicism can't save you. Can't save you at all. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to God, you say, Pastor Ron, it wasn't what you said tonight. It wasn't your sermon. I've been knowing for some time that I need to change. I know in the depth of my heart I need to change. I know that my kids need a new dad. They need a new mom. I know that. I've got to get on the journey, Pastor. I got to get on the journey. Would you ever raise your hand and don't be ashamed of it? Say, I don't care what my wife or husband, I need God, man. I did it for my family. God bless you, buddy. Raise your hand high. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. And you, over here. Anybody else? Raise your hand over here. Where else? Yes, over here. Over here. Over here. Can I tell you people, you're going to go home with the Holy Spirit in your body tonight? That's crazy. How many more? I'm going to invite some of you to come up front that want to come up front for our last one song. And those that raise their hands, as people are getting up, would you go to the back? There's a flag back there. And Pastor Hector's going to pray for you. And he's going to get the Holy Spirit in your body. He's going to tell you what you need to do. So if you raise your hand and meant business, you go back to that flag. Tell your family. I'll be back in a few minutes. Those that want to come forward, come forward. We're going to sing a song, and then I'll come out, and we'll end in prayer. Pray for John Ranger, part of our worship team, is very sick tonight. We pray for him. We've had a good run, and we're going to continue in that run. We'll continue to follow the Holy Spirit's lead and guidance. But I need to get into all of your minds that heaven is on its way. We're not going to be here much longer. I know they laughed at Noah when he's building the ark. They laughed at Paul and Peter. I'm telling you, it's coming to a climax. I need to do another prophecy teaching because things are happening right and left. Everything that the Bible has prophesied would happen, they're all happening. We got so much to say. You have a chance to get your unsaved loved ones to church on Easter. Like I say, we usually have 12 or 13,000 here on Easter. It's going to be big. Three services. We always have some special people for you, and we got special people again this year. But let's start doing God's will in our life, okay? Let's stop letting problems sidetrack us. Again, get up in the morning. When you call somebody one time, you just serve God. When you pray for someone in Walmart, pray with them even. You serve God again. When you get in your car and pray for two more people while you're driving across town, you just serve God two more times. It's so easy. But so much of the church world today is like that one person in the parable. They didn't get any rewards. You know why? He said, I knew you were such a hard man to please. I just buried the treasure and didn't even do anything with it. He said, you're wicked. You should not have looked at me that way. God is our Father in heaven. And he's looking to reward every child that comes through those gates. Give him something to reward you for. Go out, give, love people. It's so easy. Every day you should be able to count at the end of the day. I just served God five times. Maybe just one time today, but one time's more than nothing. Oh, you'll sin. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another and God cleanses you from all sin. It's just a constant cleansing. We're not perfect. So what do you think? We've had a good run, haven't we? We might not be through yet. We don't know. We know from week to week. But as a lead pastor, I felt 5 days ago, God says, start teaching them now.
So we'll be back to what kind of normal for the next months or however long until he tells us to do something crazy like that again. But can you rejoice that almost 200 people came to the kingdom of God in the last 30 days? And Easter, I just want to tell you, we have had up to 400 salvations on Easter before. It's crazy. So go out and fight your loved ones. It's going to be a great day. We got so much planned for you. I'm taking off this week to plan for Easter. And so let's get her done, okay? Love you guys, and I'll see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.